Could I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
So, also in Lumpo Sumil's talk the other day connects to where he said that our conditioning still kind of continues.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's the habits that are being reborn, and yet there's this awareness which knows all of that,
yes,
is related to freedom, they still need to play out. So even though that might have been recognized, but the rebirth process could still happen for quite a while, even though recognition is there.
Yes, yeah, that's why in Buddha Dhamma, you know, enlightenment doesn't mean evaporating. The body still continues, and the relationship to the living world still continues.
Even after death?
Hmm?
After death?
Well, that we'll get to that in a later chapter. The reappears does not apply, is the chapter 10, I think, if we get there. I go into that in some detail. I mentioned that also this dialogue with Upasiva, with one of the Brahmin students who came to see the Buddha, that you have this chapter of the Sutta Nipata. And the question of Upasiva, he says, well, an enlightened one, when they come to the end of their life, do they just disappear? Do they no longer exist? Or are they somehow taken up into some kind of eternal, blissful state? And the Buddha says, and I feel this is one of the most helpful expressions or ways that the Buddha speaks about it. He said, one who has reached the end has no criterion by which they can be measured. That which can be spoken of, the five khandhas, is no more. You cannot say that they do not exist, but when all modes of being, all phenomena are removed, all means of speaking have gone too. As I mentioned before, our usual reference points of, so where does an enlightened being go when they die? Well, being doesn't apply, going doesn't apply, where doesn't apply. You know, all those usual benchmarks of time, location, identity, they're convenient fictions that are based on the karma of birth. So that's why the Buddha said there's no criterion by which they can be measured. So you cannot say they do not exist or that that's annihilation, but by any kind of definition of saying a being or some place or some kind of existence, none of that applies. And so I feel it's a great strength of the Theravada that they don't talk about sort of Buddha lands or kind of where arahants go to, like the kind of Dakini paradises and such like. Like, nope. It's the kind of the line of Parinibbana. Like, no, nothing can be said beyond that. And I feel that's... it might be frustrating to the thinking mind. I say, yeah, but there must be some way of talking about it, some kind of image or something. And like, I feel it's a great strength of the Buddha that the whole 45 years of his teaching is like, nope, nope, nope. That's, you know, and that he was quite resolute in that. So it can be frustrating to our thinking and imagining mind, but I feel it in terms of accuracy of the teachings and beneficial teaching. It's like far more accurate to not try and create any kind of image or idea or any sort of, to borrow, as like I was quoting from Carmenita, the pilgrim Carmenita, not to borrow anything from this experience of three-dimensional space and time and identity to try and characterize that quality, even to say that quality is also going a bit too far. like it's a thing or a place or a such like. So that the currency of words are not valid over the border. Your money is not worth anything that side of the line. So.